Now this is an interesting part of Ephesians. If you remember, we've just had a chapter in chapter 1 where we've been reminded of the extraordinary blessings that God has given us in Christ in heaven. Nobody who has put their trust in Christ is missing out on any of the blessings that are ours in Christ. Adopted and chosen into God's family, redeemed by Jesus Christ, secured and being dwelt in by God's Holy Spirit. And we were reminded in chapter 2 that that has come to us if we put our trust in Christ, not because we were anything, but actually because we were nothing. We were dead in our sins and our transgressions. We were separated from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. And we're reminded that all that God has done is by grace. And now Paul seems to be going on to a new section in Ephesians. You can see that, can't you, in chapter 3 and verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then, well, the writer, the translators helpfully put that dash in the text. Because you'll notice if you've got a Bible open, that chapter 3 and verse 14 also starts for this reason. It's almost as if Paul goes, for this reason, and then he thinks, oh, actually, there's something else you need to know before I tell you what I'm going to do for this reason. Now, you and I tend to do that sort of thing, don't we? Because we're forgetful and we don't order things right, and sometimes we add in bits of information that are unnecessary, and later on we edit those bits out, and we just go from the for this reason to the what we're doing. Now, the Bible isn't like that. The Bible doesn't include anything that isn't useful and helpful for us that we need to know. So it's really interesting that Paul has to, at this point, if you want to pause and tell us something more. We've been hearing about the wonder of God's mercy and grace and how extraordinary that comes to us who don't deserve it. And now Paul needs to tell them something as he writes to them in Ephesus so they don't get the wrong idea about Christian faith. Notice what he says at the end of this little section in chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. He starts by saying, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then he ought to start as he starts at the beginning of chapter 4. For this reason, I kneel, but he doesn't. Notice what he says at the end of this section, though. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. See what Paul is hinting at here? He's just told them, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for your sake. And then he's going to tell them something which will help them at the end of this section to say, therefore, don't be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are actually your glory. See, Paul is highlighting what is actually not just a problem for those in Ephesus, but actually a problem for us all the time as we seek to follow Christ. That the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, speaks of extraordinary blessing that we have in Christ. Extraordinary privilege about being part of God's wonderful future and all that that will mean. It talks about extraordinary grace because we don't deserve it, and yet it doesn't look like it will be yet. We talk about God's blessing, but too often as Christians, it may not always feel like we're being blessed by God. Sometimes it's a struggle. Paul here is a prisoner. He's not free and speaking about Jesus and saying, look how wonderful my life is. Look what a wonderful job I've got and what prospects I've got. And he's actually saying, no, look, I'm a prisoner for your sake. And if I was in Ephesus, I'd be thinking, hold it a second, there is a mismatch between what Paul is saying about the Christian faith and actually what he is experiencing in the Christian faith. Can I trust him? And Paul knows that he needs to address that. He needs the Christians in Ephesus to see that what it is they have put their trust in really is worth hanging on to, even if now it feels more like a struggle than this picture of God's wonderful future in heaven that awaits. And that's what he's about to do. He's about to point them to something that will encourage them that actually what they are as Christians, even now, though they may not feel it, is truly significant. Because it is very easy to feel, as a Christian, that actually in the world's eyes we're pretty insignificant. That would be the cultural opinion, wouldn't it, about the Christian faith? That actually Anyone who's anybody really in our modern sort of liberal progressive culture doesn't think Christianity's got much to offer the world and its future. And it's fine if you want to go and be part of a small group of people in a dusty old building doing something on a Sunday morning, but the rest of us, we don't think that's worth spending our time on. Well, Paul is going to say, do you know, it is. And it is because what happens here on a Sunday morning is much more significant than you can possibly ever imagine and certainly will ever see with your eyes. That's what Paul is saying. So let's have a look, shall we, at what it is he says in this little interlude that is so important for us, because we, like the Ephesians, will struggle with this picture of God's great plan that we're part of and what feels like a plan that's gone off the rails as we experience it day by day. Well, let's see what he's got to say. Two things I want us to see. One is that there is a mystery that is revealed, and we're going to see later too a ministry that is given. Here's the first thing: a mystery is revealed in verses 2 to 8 there. Now, we need to work out that the Bible language here is different to the way we use language. When we think of mystery, we think of murder mystery. We've no idea who the culprit is. We're sort of feeling in the dark for what's going on. Or we think of some sort of spooky sort of, you know, ghost train experience on a fairground ride. But mystery doesn't mean that in the Bible. The word here for mystery is the word for something that was secret but is now an open piece of information. In other words, it's an open secret. It's something that was hidden behind curtains, but the curtains have now been pulled back. Prince Philip, I think, didn't he, on one of his last engagements, as he pulled back another curtain in front of another plaque, said, "You're about to watch one of the world's most experienced plaque unveilers." Right? Well, this is Paul saying that when the gospel was given to him, a plaque was unveiled. In other words, something that has been hidden in the past was made known and made clear. That's what he's saying here. Look, surely you've heard, he says, about the administration of God's grace that was given to me to you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written about briefly. And so reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which wasn't made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Do you really see what he's saying? He's saying previously, if you'd been a Jew and you'd understood all God's promises, and God's promises were big, weren't they, to the Jews? I'm going to bless the world through you, Israel. You're going to be my chosen people. I'm going to give you a land and a future and a hope and all those things. And now Paul says, whilst we knew that was what God had promised, we never knew how he was going to do it. That's why Paul says here, isn't it? Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace. In other words, you knew what he was going to do, be gracious and bless the world. What you hadn't a clue was how the administrator was going to do that during the week. How it was going to happen, how it was going to be worked out. You just knew God had promised to bless the world. And now Paul says the way God is going to bless the world is by bringing not just Jew as the spread of God's grace, but Jew and Gentile together are going to be those who benefit from God's blessing. And he says it wasn't made known to people before. In other words, you are now at a point in history that is brand new. This mystery is that the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying the gospel brings an extraordinary new piece of information that people in past generations have never had. It's not that they haven't had promises that point towards it, it's just that they could never have seen how it worked out. And Paul is saying that was what God has now given us. And we see that, don't we, in the gospels. Now, if you're investigating Christian faith, you'll know that the gospels keep on telling us that the Jews are looking for a king who's going to come and get rid of the Romans, but Jesus keeps on telling them he's going to be a servant who's going to lose his life. And they can't match the two together, because the way they think God is going to administer or work out his promise is different to the way that Jesus shows them that he works out his promise. And of course that makes a difference, doesn't it, for what it means to be part of this new people that God has brought into being. If our mind is thinking the way God will bring blessing to the world is by bringing blessing to all of his people and it'll all be brilliant, well, we need to look at how God brought that blessing into even being, and that was through Jesus, who wasn't this great success in human terms, but a failure. He died on a cross. Whose life actually wasn't straightforward. It was complicated, and he was persecuted and hounded until finally killed on a cross. Whose life wasn't all ease, but actually deeply costly. But Paul says, nevertheless, the open secret now is that that is how God brought about his extraordinary plan for the world. If we're looking to see God in his extraordinary complexity bringing about this wonderful plan, we will see that complexity not in a hero in the world's eyes, but in the anti-hero, really, Jesus, who dies on a cross, who suffers and dies that we might be forgiven, that we might have an eternal future. And Paul says that is now an open secret. That is an open secret. And notice what Paul says as he goes on. Not simply about a mystery revealed, but also a ministry given. Look what he says in verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. See, here's Paul saying, look, as God reveals this new way in which he's going to fulfill his promises, so he also gives a new way in which others might become part of those promises. The first thing, says Paul, is that by his power, God's power and grace, it's only ever effective. Paul knows that if God is at work, there will be a ministry to the Gentiles, preaching to the Gentiles. That's the way in which God will work out his promise. That's the way he'll make this secret known. He'll help people to understand it. It'll be by the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what he says here, isn't it? To preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. The thing the world needs more than anything else, says Paul, is for people to see that if you want to know how to be blessed by God, it comes through understanding Jesus' death on the cross. That is the most significant piece of information that needs to be made plain to the world. There are all sorts of get rich quick or find satisfaction or find fulfillment strategies. Yeah, go to any library, go to any bookshop, you'll find them. But Paul tells us here that the one piece of information that the world needs to know more than anything else is the administration of this ministry, to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which was kept hidden, but is now open, is now an open secret. That's the challenge of the church, isn't it? To show people that the way to find blessing, the blessing that God always promised, is paradoxically in the one who experienced in his own human life what looked like very little blessing to us, but who died on a cross. And indeed, the Ephesians are encouraged that the minister of the gospel to them, Paul, well, his life won't look much different either, but it doesn't mean to say that the message he carries is not significant and not true and can't do the work of delivering the blessing that God had promised. So there's the first part of the ministry, preaching to the Gentiles for Paul. Second thing you'll see there in verse 9, bringing light to all. It's that light and understanding. We are those who bring light into a world that doesn't see where to find blessing. We try and find blessing in every other place apart from the place that God has chosen to bless us, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does he start the letter with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ? Because that's where you find blessing. And here he's reminding us that the light that the gospel brings to the world is the light that real blessing comes from Jesus Christ. Not from anything the world will tell you brings blessing, but from Jesus Christ. And that Paul has that ministry. And they're not to be discouraged by the fact that that ministry looks weak and doesn't look as if it's succeeding or making progress. But there is a third thing here that Paul has which is a ministry that is, in a way, beyond our capacity to see, and certainly easily misunderstood. Have a look at verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus Lord. Now, do you see what he's saying here? He's saying that as the gospel is preached to the Gentiles, and as people come, and if you want, grasp the light of the gospel, grasp that in Jesus Christ there is blessing to be found, and as a result people become followers of Jesus Christ and the church is formed, that will display to the heavenly realms God's wisdom. The Bible reminds us time and time again, doesn't it, that actually the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe, but it is the wisdom of God to those who see what he is doing. And here is Paul saying that actually, as the gospel is preached to the Gentiles, as the administration of God's mystery is made plain, as they see the light, that actually God's blessing comes through Christ's death. The blessing doesn't come through a sort of a model of successful life, but a model of a life given. So the spiritual realms, the heavenly powers, see God's wisdom displayed. Now, notice it's the heavenly realms that see God's wisdom displayed. As you and I meet, as we remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is the way for us to experience God's blessing, the heavenly realms, those things that we don't see, are being reminded that God is wise and that God's way of doing things is right. The world may still be baffled and think, why on earth are we following a crucified leader? But the heavenly realms are being told by God through the ministry of the gospel to the church, through weak leaders like Paul who end up in prison, that actually God's purpose is moving forward. And Paul goes on, doesn't he, and say, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Do you see the encouragement? As the gospel is preached, as the administration of God's mystery, as the fact that God is saying the way I'm going to bring blessing comes through the Saviour who died for you, as that message is preached by weak preachers, by struggling preachers, by suffering preachers, so wonderfully in the heavenly realms, God is, if you want, streaming a banner from the back of a plane, saying, I'm wise and I'm doing what I always said I'd do, and it may not look like you expected it, but nevertheless, it is actually taking place, and nothing can thwart it and nothing can stop it. As we remind ourselves this morning, as we take bread and wine, as we put our trust in what Jesus has done for us and not what we can do for ourselves, in his death on the cross, not in our performance as Christians. So wonderfully, we are assured of access into God's presence, not on the basis of our performance, but on the basis of Christ's work on the cross. And extraordinarily this morning, whilst Muswell Hill may drive forward, backwards and forwards, and not notice anything particularly going on behind these walls, in the heavenly realms, people are being reminded that God is wise and that his plan is working out exactly as he intended it to be. This is a meeting of massive significance this morning. And Paul wants us to be encouraged that we may look weak, though he is in prison. Would you be encouraged on behalf of myself, because they are for your glory. It is all moving towards that point where all will be seen for what it is. And we will rejoice at all that Christ has done for us. Be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged. We have the privilege of seeing God work out his plan in history to bless the world through a crucified Saviour. And if he's enabled you to see that and put your trust in him, that is a wonderful thing. It will always seem in the world's eyes an insignificant thing. But even in the heavenly realms today, people are being reminded of God's wisdom and power worked out in the cross, in the gospel. And finally, one day, that will be seen for what it is. Let's pray, shall we? and ask that God might help us to be encouraged by what he has opened our eyes to see, and not discouraged, because sometimes it is costly to live for Christ before he returns. Father, we thank you. We thank you that in the church and in the proclamation of the gospel, through weak and struggling people, your wisdom is proclaimed, not simply to a world that is blind to spiritual things, but to the spiritual realms, to the heavenly realms. And Father, we pray that that might be a great encouragement to us as we seek to live for Christ, and as we seek to make that mystery once hidden, but now made an open secret, clear to the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.